Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialists, Phil and McKenna, are back, and tonight we are continuing the road to 50 with Loyalties Will Be Broken, the finale of Survivor South Pacific featuring Ozzy and Coach. I love, if you go on Paramount Plus to watch this, which I did because obviously I had to do the traders tonight and all that, it's called Finale. They don't actually have the right title on the Paramount Plus, at least not mine. It was not correct.
I didn't look for it. I just went to the end. I like didn't pay attention. That's crazy.
That's at least how it showed up for me. So anyway, that's what I got. Hopefully my internet holds up. Every tab I have open just crashed at the same time. So hopefully I still continue on. But we're here. We're talking about this episode, the third consecutive night of Coach. If you're not a Coach fan, this has been your nightmare rotation here, for lack of a better term, where you've had to sit here from Tuesday through Thursday watching Coach on your TV, and that's your build up to 50. So
at least they didn't have to talk about it. At least they haven't had to talk about it. Me sitting here having to talk about Coach for 3 straight episodes. Now that's a time.
You have to sit here and pretend that like your favorite person ever is Coach. I will say this. If you didn't check out the conversation between Coach and Colby and Stephanie and Rob from last night, that was awesome. And I'll tell you what, Colby, the man can talk. Okay, he dominates that podcast and he is on there with massive personalities. That was awesome to sit down and watch. Ozzy and Coach, and this kind of came up last night in that interview where it was, what about Amanda Kimmel? Are you guys surprised she's not there? And I think Coach says something along the lines of, well, I know why she's not here, and it's surprising they would choose one person over the other. And I think that person he's referencing is Mr. Oscar. So what do you think about the fact that they showed this episode? Because ultimately they're showing failures for both Ozzy and Coach. They're showing the success, Ozzy getting back in, Coach getting the final tribal, Coach and Ozzy going at it, you know, the manipulation, the lies, whatever. Ultimately, though, they showed both men failing as the prep for 50. So what do you think about that?
It could be that Coach was prefacing this whole episode of, this is my last and final chapter, I want to close it with a win. And maybe now they're reopening the book and was just like, oh wait, there's an epilogue. And it could lead to more Coach, but maybe, I don't know why they choose South Pacific over Game Changers, because Ozzy feels harmless in Game Changers. Like,
Ozzy's also not in Game Changers.
Exactly.
That's the biggest problem.
But South Pacific doesn't feel like a good representation of Ozzy as the player. We get Ozzy as the provider, the fisherman, the look at this massive fish that I just caught. I've been eating the best I've ever been. This was made for me kind of thing, but we don't get any of what Ozzy could bring to the game because it's the finale and his back is against the wall.
Yeah, I get that. I'm going to Emily flip in on you here real quick though. And I'm going to push back because I do think what they're ultimately highlighting here is his challenge prowess. He wins the challenge against Brandon. He wins the challenge against everybody at Final Five. He gets to Final Four. I always forget what a massive lead he has over Sophie going to the puzzle. And he just can't figure out the puzzle and she just does it faster than him. But I think it's really solely highlighting that because when he does come back for Game Changers, that's Ozzy's whole game. Ozzy is invisible on that season. He doesn't really do anything at all. He's just there. Like, he's a body on the screen. You know, him and Troyzan, those are the two smallest edits on that season, pretty sure. And they're very small. And here's Ozzy coming back for 50. And people always say, Troyzan's never going to come back. Troyzan could come back and play again. Like, I would not be surprised at all. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to, do people like do production and casting like these people? And they do like Ozzy. And I think this episode was solely to show Ozzy and his challenge ability, because there is no game here. Yes, I agree with you. But there's really no moment you could have chosen for this unless you chose him going to Redemption Island, which, yeah, that's a two-parter, though. You have to show the second episode again. So I feel like they wanted to show off his challenge ability. And if you went to Cook Islands, you're going with a standard definition season. Nobody else from that season is on this. It's going to open up the can of worms of why isn't Parv back, which you're already getting from Heroes Villains anyway, but still, you'd have three episodes of Parv in a row.
Exactly. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, you don't want that when you're not going to put that person on your screen. So I feel like that was probably why they didn't choose that season. And then I don't feel like you can choose anything from Game Changers because he just doesn't do anything.
That's true. I mean, so do we think they made it so Ozzy got back in the game because they did get a grip as the final duel? Like, if Ozzy perchance gets voted onto Redemption, we want to put Get a Grip as the last one because he's won this. Do you think they planned that? Even if they didn't know Ozzy was going to Redemption, but the just in case he wound up there?
Yes. Yes. And I don't know if it necessarily had to do with Ozzy. I think we were at a time, we had had such weak winners. And I'm sorry, but I'm calling this how I have to call it. Boston Rob was their big winner, but production was viewing Fabio, Sandra, Natalie White as very weak winners.
Mm-hmm.
Redemption Island comes into the game as a way to protect your stars and to protect these more physical players that are not doing well on the show anymore. Like in 19, who's the physical beast on that season? Nobody, because they all go out early. And then mm-hmm. Russell, not really.
Yeah.
And then you go to season 20. Who's the physical beast on that season? Nobody, because they all go out early. And mm-hmm. you go to 21. Fabio goes on the run at the end because everybody's gone, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that they wanted to give a little bit of a chance to the people. And if you look at Redemption Island as well, the final challenge in Redemption Island is total BS. It's total bullshit. I hate that challenge. And it happens again in Blood versus Water of holding your foot up and it's the hip flexor.
Yep.
Women are going to win that challenge like 90% of the time. It's just a fact. Like women have strong, like that muscle is stronger in women than it is in men.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to win that challenge. Now, that doesn't mean that I want you to turn around and go do an arm press thing. I don't want you to do what Joe and David were battling it out in 48. However, what I am saying is if you're going to do an endurance-based challenge, it has to be an endurance-based challenge that every person could win. Maybe not Sari. I don't think Sari is going to win this challenge. I don't think Rupert's going to win this challenge. But anybody else, like generally anybody can win this challenge. And I think you have to have that. And so for me, they watched the end of Redemption Island and they said, Andrea came back. That didn't work. She beats Matt, who was the story. She beats mm-hmm. Mike, who should have been better. And she beats Grant. Like, and I'm not saying Andrea doesn't earn it. But if you're production, you're looking at that going, is Andrea actually the best challenge performer there? Or was this challenge more designed for her? We made this mistake back in Panama when there was no way Danielle was going to lose that challenge. So what do we do? Now you have a whole offseason to figure it out. Because you've, mm-hmm. even though this filmed and 23 had already filmed, you're coming out of 22 knowing what happened and saying, okay, if we're going to do Redemption Island again, what do we have to do differently? And I think that in their heads, they said, the smaller, younger woman won this one. This one's not going to favor men, but this one is going to make it a more even playing field. So if we end up in the same situation where it's Grant versus Andrea, either one of them can win. Mike mm-hmm. versus Andrea, either one of them can win. And it's going to be an endurance-based thing, but it's not going to be something that tests one muscle. It's going to be something that tests your willpower. So yes, I think that this was designed to help Ozzy, but I don't think it was designed necessarily after Ozzy was chosen. It was designed with Ozzy's in mind, and Ozzy right. ended up being the Ozzy.
Right.
That was 5 minutes. Thank you. You're welcome for the short answer.
Hey, I asked the question, so...
I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, truly, what, like, because I mean, you've watched every season. I know you're a rare South Pacific fan. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate that it is a challenge that Ozzy has won. I think it would be great if Ozzy has not won it before. It just feels very, we want to make sure Ozzy, if he's at that point, goes further. So that's just the sus of it all. But I agree. I think when they planned their duels, they planned it before Ozzy was even chosen on Redemption. But it just is a little fishy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel. I feel like it's just a little fishy. But at the same time, I'm a firm believer it's not rigged, because if it is, Sophie wouldn't have won the season.
No, yes.
You know. And I think that's where people get so caught up. This was the era where people did start talking about, is it rigged? What's going on?
Yeah,
we had Boston Rob.
Boston Rob's tribe.
Cochran, Tyson. But then you watch a season like this, it's like, no, because Coach or Ozzy would have won. If this went the way production wanted, Coach runs a dominant alliance the whole game. Ozzy wins his way back in from Redemption Island. Ozzy wins the final challenge. And Ozzy and Coach are duking it out at that final tribal council. That's what production wants. They don't want Sophie to be Coach. No way. But I said it on the hot takes the other night. I think Sophie's win is the most important in the show. Turgenstein says Sophie equals bad winner. I don't think that's true, but I understand why people aren't pumped about her. But I think it's so important that she won, because I think if you were just getting fan favorite, Jeff's favorite the whole time, the show would have just kept doing that. It wouldn't have stopped doing it. And that would have been a problem in the 30s. And I think Sophie needed to be there to prove to the fans that, yes, you can beat these returning players. And, you know, if Ozzy's sitting there, Ozzy wins hands down. I mean, that Sabai tribe loved him so much. It was absurd. Mm-hmm. But I just think that, you know, it's not rigged necessarily, but I do think that this was designed with Ozzy types in mind, more so than other seasons might be designed for a final challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
So that's my take there. Let's talk about watching Coach lose at Final Tribal.
Yes. Final Tribal, I typically hate because it's just so long and drawn out and a lot of it is useless. And everybody was like, you lied to me. But my favorite part comes as a shock to nobody. It's actually Edna's speech being like, guys, we signed up to be duped. That's what they were doing. Like, you knew this was happening going in there. Why are you yelling at them for playing the game? So this whole jury was, like, poisoned by the honor, integrity, loyalty that Coach was spewing. But that also was a tactic by him to keep allies close and to be able to maneuver within the tribes. So do I think Coach should have won? No, because I think Sophie did play a great game in South Pacific, and I think it was under the radar. She was using Coach as that figurehead while undermining him with other points to her game.
Yeah, I feel like every time I watch this, and we just did this one not to reason. Yeah, Turgenstein says, hot take, bring back Edna. She understood the game. I mean, that's like McKenna's favorite person of all time. But we did this one not too long ago for Patreon. We're up to Kaguya now. We have San Juan del Sur coming after that. Mm-hmm. So we're up to season, you know, 29. So this was 5 months ago, 6 months ago. And I remember going into that and I'm watching it with my wife who had never seen the season. And I'm like, yeah, Coach, like, she knew Sophie won because she's seen Winners at War. And I'm like, yeah, Coach gives an all time bad Final Tribal performance. And I watched it then and I said, wait, maybe he doesn't. And then watching it again today, I'm like, his performance isn't that bad.
No.
He starts to be apologetic, but he's not overly apologetic. He's not trying to go back on what he said. I actually don't think his performance is that bad, which brings up this question from other people. Daryl Seymour, John, I believe Coach wasn't winning because Ozzy poisoned the jury. And then you have John saying, but then if Ozzy poisoned the jury, if Ozzy was beside him in Final Tribal Council, would the jury be pro Coach? And that's where I don't buy that the jury was poisoned by Ozzy, because I think they were just so anti-Coach. That was Savati was very bitter. They were very bitter that they were, one, bitter that they got duped by Cochran, and then two, they were bitter that they got duped by Coach.
Does Brandon say anything about Coach to the rest of the tribe once he gets out?
Doesn't matter. Nobody took Brandon seriously. I know that some people in the comments will say Brandon had a chance, but no
Rick. I mean, yes.
Nobody took Rick seriously either. Yeah,
I know.
I think that's the biggest problem.
We don't via the edit, but like they could, if Rick was saying something about like, well, you know, Coach promised me this, Coach promised me that. Oh, he promised you that. He also promised me this.
The problem with South Pacific is this. And this is why I'm surprised they showed this episode. We're talking about slay everyone, trust no one. You're doing that 2 weeks before the premiere. How's this premiere of 50 going to live up to that? But then you watch this finale and you're like, okay, this is why finales can be good and it's not this. The problem with South Pacific is that there was no lying between Safai and Apollo, right? Apollo is the tribe.
Yep.
There was no lying. Everything was very by the book because it was just a standard paganging. Cochran lied. Sure. That was it though. Like Coach and Albert tried to do some stuff, but they never made promises. Coach's biggest mistake was making the promise to Ozzy that I'll take you to the end. But Coach knows he loses to Ozzy. And also, it's sour grapes from Ozzy because Ozzy does go and start telling people what Coach said. And if he does, like when you do that, you offset any deals that were made. Like that's that. I told you I would do this and it'd be great to battle it out and we should make these two make fire. But now if you're going to go out of your way to tell these people that I'm going behind their back, screw you. I'm done with you. I don't need you. I'm voting you out of the game. And I think that was sour grapes from Ozzy.
Yeah. Ozzy should have known, like, that was a life, not a real lifeline, a lifeline to use each other for a little while, and one of them is going to go, because I don't think Ozzy would have taken Coach, because I think Ozzy thinks he could have beaten Coach, but they both should know that they're going to go for one another. Why put both returnees in the final tribal council? You're just going to split the votes.
Yeah. I want to throw up these comments now, because people are talking about the Brandon thing. We have Jim Darrell says, Jim Rice said that Brandon would have won the game because people liked him. And in a podcast, Brandon said that he made sure that Coach wasn't going to win. You have MS Smith saying, Sophie said in multiple exit interviews that Brandon was somehow the biggest jury threat out there. Darrell, Phil is not aware that Brandon was the favorite to win. I mean, look, that might be what they're saying. And I'm not saying that it's not true. It also shows how terrible the cast of South Pacific is, if that is the case, that they were actually going to vote for Brandon to win. You know, because good on them for voting for Brandon. But also, I do feel like part of that wasn't necessarily a respect for Brandon. It was an anti-everyone else and wanting to stick it to them in some way. And maybe there's exit interviews that say different. I don't know if these exit interviews happened right after South Pacific. That's different if these are happening years later. I'm not buying it, really, because I think everything changes over time. Just like people say that all of Heroes versus Villains jury regrets not voting for Parvati. Like, no, like they voted for Sandra. It happened. I'm not letting them like Monday morning quarterback it. So I just think that, you know, Brand, they hated Upolu. This was the worst final three for the Savai'i people sitting over there. They did not like any of these people. I don't think Ozzy had to do any poisoning. And Ozzy definitely could control the way those people were thinking, the Savai'is, but I just don't think he needed to. I think they'd already made up their mind. And honestly, they were going into that final tribal being like, look, it's between Sophie and Coach. It's certainly
Prince
Albert, which I love Albert. I really do. I mean, like, really good dude. I've met him a bunch of times. He's a really good guy, but he had no clue. He understood the game part. He didn't understand the human part. And he is very admitted of that. We've had him on the podcast a couple times, but I do feel that
you missed Albert for Game Bots and Celebrating Survivor.
He's like not a, you have to have more. You have to be better at the game to be a game bot. But I think that everybody knew it was between Sophie and Coach, and they were going to hear him out. And I just think that Sophie gives a better pitch. And I will say, Ozzy making Sophie cry at Final Five may have won Sophie the game.
Yeah, because she was like, "I'm going to come into this with no emotions now," and was a little bit emotional still, but like was more matter of fact. This is how it is. Coach is a little girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she does a great job. She does a great job. And then there's that. And she's the one who beats Ozzy at the final challenge.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Albert. It's not Coach. And not only does she beat Ozzy, she has to overcome Albert in that challenge. Albert is constantly in her way, which is very funny to watch. But I think there was a lot of respect for Sophie coming out of that. You know,
I think Ozzy respects the physical game so much, and that if Albert beat Ozzy in the challenge, he might even try and sway it toward Albert, because this is the guy who took me down. I was in the lead and he beat me in the puzzle, because that's how he was championing Brad Culpepper on Game Changers. So I think maybe whomever beats him, he champions, and maybe that does get Coach the win if Coach were to beat him. But I don't know.
I think the problem for Albert was Coach could have gotten it. Albert doesn't, because everybody was so mad at Albert for what he did to Brandon.
Yeah.
were so, like, we don't get that in this episode unless you watch the previously on, but him getting Brandon to give up the necklace and then acting like he didn't know it was coming and him getting voted out, that's pretty much what happened.
And the way he answers Jim's question of like, I love that question, by the way. That's the way you played the game was great.
One of my all-time favorites. Don't start this with a compliment. I really appreciate this question. Just unbelievable. So again, though, why is, so we've kind of talked about this and we've kind of gotten there. I think we've kind of gotten there. Could they have shown an episode for somebody else though? Like, instead of Ozzy here, could they have just decided we don't need a South Pacific episode? Because I really think this episode's terrible. Like, it's not
really good. Is not good. Yeah.
And like, I am higher on South Pacific than a lot of people. I think South
Pacific. And I'm probably higher than you on that on South Pacific, but
I mean, so here's where I have it. So we're going through on the Patreon, we're going through our seasons in order. And so through 28 seasons, I have it ranked 28, 27, 26, 25, 24,
23, 22. I have it
ranked 21. Out of 28.
So what's below it for you?
I have Fiji, Borneo, Thailand, All Stars, Nicaragua, One World, and Redemption Island.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's going to be many seasons that are still below it. Like, this might still be like a bottom 10 season.
Right.
However, I do probably appreciate the season more than others, but I think that the finale aspect, I think what's frustrating about it is Ozzy winning his way back in a format that is designed for him to succeed would not be satisfying. Mm-hmm. Coach winning a season right after Boston Rob won would not be satisfying, but they edited Sophie so poorly that she's not satisfying. I think looking back, I think when you watch it back, her win is more satisfying, which is why I ranked the season a little bit higher than those others. However, no, there is no satisfying conclusion. The fans would have loved an Ozzy win. Let's be real. Right. Some fans would have loved the coach win, but those aren't actually satisfying endings because Ozzy winning by getting voted out at like final 11 and then just making his way to final 5 in something that's designed for him, or coach winning after Boston Rob, when it's like everything is just in their favor, they're putting a bunch of random people out there. It's not good for the show. And so I'm just kind of confused why we watch this tonight.
I think now that I'm thinking about it, like, you have so many other anecdotes throughout the season that provide more comedy, more levity to the season, add a little bit more interest. But when you're just on the finale, the two things that I took interest in were Sophie saying, "Albert, pick up my stack," and Edna's question. Like, these were the only two things in this finale that I cared about.
And her crying. Come on, her crying is so good.
But it's not, it, like, it's good. It's a good character moment, but it's not hiccups. Like,
I don't know why. Hey, no, it hurts.
But like, the season as a whole makes it not as bad. But if we just look at the finale, it's like, why are we watching this on the road to one of the supposed best seasons that we're gonna have?
So I understand why they wanted to start this with "If It Smells Like a Rat, Give It Cheese," because it's one of the all-time greats, right? It's maybe the best episode. But what if they had started with the Ozzy blindside? It shows off Ceri. It shows off Ozzy. Even though it's a negative for Ozzy in that episode, it's still showing off
Ozzy. What Ozzy's going to – it's what's going to happen to Ozzy.
He's going out early in the post-merge. Like, that's where Ozzy goes, right? If you start with that, then you do smarter approach, slay everyone, trust no one. You've gotten Ozzy out of the way. Now you open up the door for being able to do an Aubrey episode, maybe, in Ko Rong. You know, the Debbie boot in Ko Rong is much more compelling now. Instead of skipping from season 23 to 35, South Pacific to Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, those are not popular seasons. Like, and I don't know if, you know, I know the ratings we were talking about for Monday night, it was 2 million. Don't think you're getting 2 million watching a 2-hour episode of South Pacific in 2026. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Though I think the Ozzy blindside doesn't show off Ceri. She just, like, goes along with it.
I don't know about that. It's her and Parv.
Okay.
It's her and Parv who come up with that plan. I don't remember exactly how it went, but Parv.
It felt like I haven't seen it in a little bit, but to me, I remember it as Parvati went to Ceri with the plan.
Parvati gets immunity. And then Amanda, James, and Ozzy want to go back on the promise to Jason. And Ceri approaches Alexis, Jason, Natalie, and Parvati about blindsiding Ozzy. It's Ceri's idea. Have I ever told you that's Ceri's season and that your Parvati love is blinding you? It's Ceri's idea. I'm reading that off of the description in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, McKenna.
We stick to the plan. We're talking about self-specific.
Sometimes you just have to admit that Parvati's just okay. And by okay, I mean she's
talking hot takes.
She's the top five Survivor player, but because I say she's five, I get called dumb. Survivor's rerun on Tuesday night was 1.96 million.
And that was Martyr Approach.
That was Martyr Approach, yeah. Yeah, it lost to the Winter Olympics, Will Trent, and Best Medicine. I don't know what Best Medicine is. Best Medicine is a show on Fox about a small town doctor. So it's like a drama. But I mean, it lost that, but it actually had a better 18-49. It had the same 18-49 share as Will Trent and Best Medicine, but then it lost in the overall millions. But it's a rerun, and it's losing by a million to Best Medicine, which I think is in its first season. So MS Smith says they give Parvati all the confessional/credit for the Aussie move to pump up her winner edit, Phil. But it is Suri who comes up with the idea. But yeah, if you're going to do it, you want to get more Suri. I'm just trying to figure out, like, I'm coming out of this one. This is the first one, like the first two. I'm coming out of this one just being like, I didn't need to watch South Pacific tonight. I didn't need to.
Yeah. And just like not this episode of South Pacific. Like if we're going to do it, like why not do the boot at maybe when Ozzy comes back in or something like that of the merge flip.
Because then it's a Cochrane episode.
But not necessarily. It's coach pulling in Cochrane and then Ozzy losing everything he's worked for.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's true. I don't know. I guess that doesn't show either Coach or Ozzy in a great light either, even though this episode does. I don't know. I mean, I think
persuasive skills. And
you know what it should have been?
Wearing a jacket. What?
Can I just say what it should have been? Ozzy just shouldn't have been on 50. Then you don't have this problem.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, right? You don't have this problem.
Maybe he'll be edited out of the season again.
I know. I mean, I feel bad like harping on Ozzy because I feel like a lot of people are harping on Ozzy being on here. But he has to show us something different. If he doesn't show us something different, it's disappointing.
That this is a returnee season where they put the season that they were last in or like whatever their first season is instead of their occupation.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what they would do. Would they put influencer?
I know. That's a great question. No, they're going to put, don't worry, they're going to put past season. I'm curious if they're going to put all of them for everybody. You know, is Cerise going to be like Panama, fans, favorites, heroes, villains, game changers, AU versus the world? Yeah.
Anyway. They're not putting AU versus the world. That's for sure.
That's for sure. I don't know. I look at some of the episodes, like I'm excited. I haven't watched Heroes, Healers, Hustlers in a while. That's been a long, long time. So I'm excited for that. I'm obviously excited for Jackets and Eggs. I mean, that's going to be incredible. I'm excited for Awkward because that shows off Devin's. Don't really care about the New Era ones. I mean, we watched them also recently, so who really can care? But I feel like we probably didn't need to get Icarus time. I know there's three people in 48, but we probably didn't need three. We didn't need the Icarus time that we just watched this time last year, less than a year ago.
Yeah.
We probably should have gotten the Aubrey episode. I think that's what I'm getting at with this. Is I just watched this episode and it's the first time I'm going, why do we not have an Aubrey episode?
Because what episode is tomorrow?
Survivor Devil. It goes right to Heroes, Healers, Hustlers.
So, yeah, it feels like we're going from a bit older school in honor, integrity, loyalty to HHH, which is I'm going to flip the script on everybody and be double agent and then be on the bottom and idol Ben Bomb and all that. So, like, we don't have, like, that middling season, even though 32 is closer to 35 than it is to 23. But it's still, like,
well,
not
32.
As...
32 happened before Second Chance. So 31. Actually, that's probably the last season of this era. It probably is, like, that season belongs in this era. You're making a very good point here. That belongs in this era because Second Chance technically came after. So it's the last season not influenced by Second Chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is important. Yeah. I feel like I don't know. It's a missed opportunity. I mean, people are saying because Aubrey doesn't need to be there. Edge episode has Aubrey, so that's why I know I'd mention that.
Aubrey even in the Edge episode?
I mean, she's on the Edge, so who knows? I mean, she has to go to Tribal Council and sit there, but it's not showing off her gameplay, that's for sure. I just feel like, you know, what if Aubrey wins? What if Aubrey goes to Final Five? What if Aubrey goes to the Final 10? Like, what if Aubrey
was already
matters?
At Final Five and Game Changers? Do we know what happened there?
I know, but like, what if Aubrey matters on this season and she's like the one person who's getting overlooked?
Do we want to read into these episodes that much? Like, we're trying to be like, all right, what are the three coach episodes telling us? What are the lack of Aubrey, why didn't they do this person? Like, I don't want to read into that too much because I want to organically watch 50, but it is something like in the back of my mind of like, why are they showing these people off?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're doing a good job of highlighting most of the cast, but there's like three or four people that are just being missed. And I think it's interesting that, you know, we just watched South Pacific. I mean, going from Heroes Villains to South Pacific is like, what? Going from Token Chains to this is like, what? Think about the first three seasons we just watched. Then we just got South Pacific. And then we're going to get 35. It's like,
which is like a mid season.
It's like, I like Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. I just know that the general, maybe that's why they're putting it on a Friday.
It's like, I would say it's upper middle for me. It's not bad, but it's not something that I would be like, you know what I want to watch? Heroes, Healers, Hustlers.
I mean, John Tay to win says, is it just the Aussie bias? I mean, it probably is, but I just, again, it's not even Aussie here. It's like, I would be fine. I'd watch Aussie on the Flying Fox all day. You know, if you're going to show Aussie losing, but still mattering, show him at the final tribal losing by one to one of the best winners in the history of the show. And let's watch the finale of Cook Islands.
Yeah. I'm down for that.
Yeah. Yeah, because this shows off. Wow, you guys remember Ozzy was good at challenge? It's like, yeah, we all knew that. and then it's also being like, there are so many people who tuned in tonight and were like, who the hell are the other three people in this episode? So many, and like I Rick is nothing, but I like Albert. I've had him on the podcast a lot. Like, I think Sophie's very good. I think her coming back for Winners at War was great. I think she plays a very good game. But there are so many people who just watched that episode tonight going, what?
Isn't this supposed to celebrate Survivor, show off the best that, you know, Survivor can have? And we go here and it's just a big question mark because we have many we've had three episodes now that have made sense. And so when we stop making sense for this one, it's just a little jarring and stands out. Like, I could see it making sense before I watched it, being like, oh, shows off coach Aussie, Aussie gets back in, he's a fan favorite, blah blah blah. Then I watch the episode and I'm just like, this isn't great to be displaying your season. Like, it's just not a good one.
Yeah, and you know, we've been positive during this entire series. I also think it's weird with this being the only finale. I think that's also very strange. Like, this is the only finale that we're watching during this series. And it's nowhere near the best finale. It's nowhere near the most interesting finale. There's like, it's not even really a good final three. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, still, we sit down and you watch episodes of Survivor. Great. Great. Like, that's what you want to be doing. This is the one that's confusing. I almost feel like they felt like they were backed into a hole. Can't do two standard definition seasons. You know, we can get coach and Ozzy, so let's do it. You know, we're not going to do two episodes from fans versus favorites. At that point, just re-air the season. So I think that's pretty much what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, what else about this episode? I know we're a little short here, but I mean, I feel like that's fair. It's also my 16th podcast this week. So here we are.
I mean, it's also just a finale where the questions of Final Tribal Council take up a lot of the episode.
20 minutes.
A few challenges take up a lot of the episode. Another Tribal Council. Like, there wasn't much substance to the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, look, I mean, good for Sophie for getting her win shown yet again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm done. So tomorrow night,
it's cooked.
Good night. Yeah. Yeah. John Tay to win. Phil's going for the podcast record. Let's go. I mean, it's been the Patreon stuff and then this stuff. And it's just like these five. I think I've done five or six Patreon. I'm doing a Patreon with Tegwith tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, 7:30, McKenna, you're doing seasons 31 to 40 with Will and John.
Yes.
And then after that, you and I are jumping on to talk about the Survivor Heroes Devil. Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And that will be more in line with when the episode ends. Only about a half hour late tomorrow. I know these last two have been late, but yes. Traders and the hot takes were more important for us to do. And we had decided we were doing hot takes at 9 o'clock before we knew that these were being announced. And then everybody couldn't move. And next week's going to be the same thing because we're doing moves at 9 o'clock and sucks to suck everybody. So, but yeah, that's fun. So that's it. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Make sure you get in there and leave your comments about what you thought about this episode. We're being too hard on the fact that they chose this one, or do you like this one? What do you think about this? This is the only finale South Pacific. Otherwise, tomorrow night, 7:30 PM, check out McKenna, John, Will, and then afterwards, the Survivor Devil. I don't know how many more times I can say the Survivor Devil is Jurgenstein. I've literally said it 15 times this episode.
They were saying, is it the finale for HHH?
No. Yes. I'm so tired. No, the finale is the best. That's the finale they should have shown. Show off Chrissy too, having to make the decision with fire. All right, that's it. We're done. Goodbye, everybody.